Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, my Lord.
May God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is what's known in the movies as a jump cut. If it seems, just last week, we were still celebrating Christmas and the Feast of the Holy Name. Well, it was just last week. And on Friday, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany. Jesus was still the little baby lying in the manger, being visited by tall and imposing strangers from the east. And here today, he is a grown man coming to the river to be baptized by his cousin John. Now, of course, many things happened in the meantime. Joseph was warned in a dream to take the baby to Egypt to escape the murderous insanity of Herod's rage. And so they went and then returned sometime later, settling in Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus grew through his childhood, hanging out in the carpenter's shop with his dad and learning the Torah like any good Jewish boy. There is a snapshot in Luke of Jesus at age 12, staying behind a debate with the scholars in a temple. Excuse me. While his family searched high and low and tore their hair out about where this most precious boy might be. But the most important part of this story begins here, begins now, with Jesus coming to be baptized. He had surely thought about it for a while, months at least, maybe even years. John had been out there in the hot, desolate wilderness of Judea, preaching by that thin trickle of the River Jordan, preaching sin and repentance and renewal and change. Things were rather rotten in Israel. There was poverty, unemployment, fear, and despair. The golden vision of the kingdom of David, their heritage from the past, seemed like just so much fantasy, a fairy tale. Their past seemed like a dream, and their present like a nightmare. John, like one of the Old Testament's prophets, had a vision of the need for all of Israel to repent and to start over again. he began to preach this stern, tough love message months, even years, before Jesus showed up. People had begun coming out to hear him, to think about their own lives, to repent, to be baptized, to try and change things. By the time Jesus got there, John had gathered a following. Jesus must have thought about it, considered joining them, weighed its possible meanings for his life for months. And finally, he made his way out to hear this distant cousin of his out in the wilderness. John was proclaiming the need for repentance so that the Messiah could come. The Messiah, whom God would send to fix the mess of the people's lives, of the life of Israel. John seemed to have been convinced that God would only send this long-awaited Messiah would enough people behave themselves well enough to make a place for him. Did Jesus have any idea before he went what would happen to him there? Perhaps he did. Perhaps not. Perhaps he went not really expecting anything, but at the same time unable to stay away any longer. When he got there, he surely stood around and listened for a while, maybe even for a couple of days. Finally, it seemed time. And so he waded into the water, standing in line with the others to repent and to be reconciled. But when he got up to John, something strange happened. John looked at him, startled, shocked, and refused at first to baptize him. John said, "You are the one who ought to be baptizing me. I cannot baptize you." Did Jesus know in that moment that something powerful was happening? Maybe he did, maybe not. Clearly, this was not the way it usually happened. And somehow Jesus was sure that it had to happen the way it usually did. "Let it be so now," he said, "for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." To fulfill all righteousness. To do it by the book, by tradition, to dot the I's and to cross the T's. To live it out just like everybody else. And so, John consented. He put his arms around Jesus, lowering him into the murky water of the River Jordan, holding him there for a moment, then lifting him up, transformed, renewed. And as Jesus was being lifted up from the water, something mysterious, something otherworldly happened. What we have come to call a mystical experience. When it happens to us or to people we know. Just as his head and shoulders came up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens open and a dove float gently down and alight on him. And he heard a voice coming from the cleft in heaven. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Did John hear it too? Did the people around him hear it? Matthew does not say so. Matthew seems to think that the experience was a private, intimate moment between God and Jesus alone. But one thing is certain, though. In that moment, Jesus' whole understanding of his life was affected, maybe even changed, and changed completely. He suddenly knew clearly that he had to go off alone to pray and contemplate on the message given him that day in baptism, just as he came up out of the water. Immediately afterward, says Matthew, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We remember this time as 40 days in the wilderness in which we will commemorate Lent. But just for a moment, let us stay with Jesus and that experience in baptism. Could he have expected it? Well, we surely expected something to happen, or we would not have thought about it so long ahead of time. And he would have been more surprised by John's resistance to baptize him. Did he understand it all beforehand? Surely not. Or we have not have needed to spend those 40 days in the wilderness unpacking the experience, as we would say today, struggling with the meaning of it for his life. But what finally does all this mean to us? Surely our own baptisms do not compare with our Lord's experience, do they? Clearly, none of us is called to be the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ who reigns in glory. But conversely, through our baptism, all of us become one with Christ. As we pray in the baptismal service, we thank you, Almighty God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn in the Holy Spirit. As Jesus was baptized, so are we baptized, to become who we are called to be, to begin our own ministry. What? Are you saying that no dove appeared over you? Or that no voice issued forth from heaven in tones that sounded like James Earl Jones? Perhaps not. But perhaps we are just not listening clearly. Perhaps we expect our call to look like a dove and to sound like James Earl Jones. But our call looks and sounds quite different, so that we do not recognize it as a sign and a voice from God. And perhaps we think that because it happened to Jesus, the Lord and Christ, it could not possibly happen to us, us lowly followers that we are. We all share some of the call we received from God with every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Diane and I received our call to work with the girls at Our Little Roses in Honduras. We will leave for Honduras right after church 2 weeks from today. We will drive to Atlanta and fly out on Monday morning to San Pedro Sula. There we will meet up with about 20 other people with which we will spend the next week working, playing, teaching, and loving the girls at Our Little Roses. Every one of the people going down to Honduras sponsor at least one girl at the home and school for abandoned and abused girls at the only girls' home in Honduras. Di and I are blessed to sponsor three girls: Bridget, who is now 9, Claudia, who just turned 21, and her sister Guadalupe, who is 19. The objective of Our Little Roses is to provide these girls with a safe place to live, to give them an education and love and a Christian upbringing. I am so proud of the achievements made by many of the girls over the last 26 years. Our Little Roses has produced many teachers, a doctor of dentistry, a lawyer, an electrical engineer, and some just awesome wives and mothers, among others. Now, your call will be different than ours, but as we are united in baptism with the body of Christ, we all share in some of the ministry to which Jesus was called. One place our call to that ministry is spelled out is in our baptismal promises in the prayer book. Shortly, as we renew our baptismal covenant, each of us will be asked to affirm that we will, with God's help, undertake a series of responsibilities to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to strive for justice and peace among all people. These are the ministries shown on earth by Christ, taught by the apostles, required of us in our baptism. But just as Jesus' ministry was unique to him, each of us is called to our own unique ministry. We are called, in fact, to grow into the fullness of ourselves as we were created by God to be. Part of our life after baptism is to discern just who we are called to be and then to live it out as fully as we possibly can with God's help. This season of Epiphany is a good time to spend some time remembering our role as the body of Christ in mission to the world. It is also a good time to renew our work of discerning who God has called us individually, as a parish, and as a national church to be. Because whether you saw the dove alight on you, or whether you or not you heard the voice say it, you, your very self, are a child of God, a beloved one, and with you, God will be well pleased. As the forgiveness of sin is bestowed on us through the water and the Holy Spirit, and we are all raised to the new life of grace, may God grant us inquiring and discerning hearts, the courage and the will to persevere, a spirit to know and to love the Lord, and the gift of joy and wonder in all the works of the Holy One. In the name of Christ, who leads us through the water of baptism into new life in him. Amen.